Serving the nation at blogtalkradio.com. This is Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play.
And it comes time. We know how Lincoln dies. You know, a tough spot with a bullet.
And as I speak to you, they're showing a Mongo USA fan at the World Baseball Classic chanting USA.
Actually, this Paul Davis a lot.
Ooh.
First thing you've got to mention here is the additions of Syracuse and Pitts, which is like adding two turds to a lawn.
You know what? What's the WGCs and the Players' Championship anywhere on the same level as a major fight? So chill out with that.
I actually never knew what meme was, and I always thought it was just MMA. And
I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn.
She was gorgeous, man. This girl was really good looking. And I'm like, holy, is that so-and-so? And I'm seeing him doing a body shot off her, and he's hammered. He turns around, he's like, I love this place.
You know, round apple with the Orioles lettering on it.
They should put the Orioles one in the river.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Thursday show. On a gorgeous day in Santa Monica along the West Coast. Good to have you with us tonight. We're at blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City, and we're also going to be joined by Kevin on the Cape in hour two for random questions on this special Thursday program. We keep shuffling the program on different nights because of the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it's the Cup. And we look forward to continuing our coverage of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Still going. I mean, we have not decided the championship round participants yet. We have two series in progress, one game in progress. The game in progress is the Canadians at the Rangers, and we'll check in on that in a minute. But let's start tonight with the West Final as we lead into our first guest of the hour, Jeremy from New Jersey. He will join us at 10 after. And big news in the NBA, which we'll cover in about 10 minutes. And well, the Clippers got sold, and the Clippers sell, reports say, to ex-Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, a wacky guy to say the least, but an enthusiastic guy, and it seems like a guy that really cares about life. It'll be an interesting play. If you thought that Mark Cuban was wacky, you ain't seen nothing yet. And he will buy the Clippers for $2 billion. More to come on that subject in a few minutes. But now we cover our first topic of the evening, the NHL. Topic, a few hours ago I didn't really feel like getting into. But let's face facts. I mean, last night when you talk about the Kings and the Blackhawks, it was a great game. Game 5 was the Blackhawks' last chance. And they were down 3-1 in this series after two games that the LA Kings just about dominated at home. And they needed to throw out all the stops, and they did. They switched up lines. They were really going aggressive at the net. They threw everything at them. They were really going after hitting so many shots at Jonathan Quick. Quick did not look too good last night, but he did make some great saves. Crawford also looked kind of shaky, but he made some great saves. And that game could not be settled in three periods. They had to go to overtime. And that first overtime was just the greatest hockey you may see all year. Everybody had a chance. Chances back and forth. So many shots on goal. Back and forth hockey. Up and down. It was so fast. It wouldn't stop. I think there were three stoppages in play the whole overtime. Unbelievable. No penalties called. It was just the greatest period of hockey you'll see on any level. It was really good. But amazingly, neither the Kings nor Blackhawks could score. Then, into the second overtime, a missed assignment. Some say Richards, some say Trevor Lewis. But that missed assignment goes to an open opportunity for the former King, Michael Hontzus, who takes the opportunity, takes advantage, and scores the game-winning goal to put the Chicago Blackhawks further into this series and keep them from elimination. Final score, 5-4 in game 5, and now, tomorrow, we go to game 6. Well, that sets up a very interesting opportunity, both for LA and for Chicago. Chicago was way out of it, and they basically had to get desperate and do all sorts of wacky things that they otherwise wouldn't have done. For example, they put Patrick Kane on a brand new line with two other guys that, you know, you wouldn't think of, and that would be Saad and Shaw together on that line, and it was amazing. It created some of the best offense that you've seen from Kane all playoffs. Kane had a career first 4 points in that game last night. Most of those were assists, and he had looked greater than we had seen the entire series. Otherwise, before then, he didn't have any points. I think he may have had one in game four, but he was terrible. I mean, he was doing nothing in the series, and you got to give a lot of credit to Voinov and Doughty for doing that, especially Doughty. He was all over the ice, but Patrick Kane turned it on in a big way, and now the Kings, you're certainly not concerned. I mean, you look at the series, and you go into game six, and you just keep doing what you're doing, because obviously, having started that game down 2-0, yes, they were down 2-0 in the first period, came back, and eventually tied the game, and eventually took the lead on a Tanner Pearson goal way out from the point that shouldn't have gone in, let's be honest. I mean, Brandon Crawford did a terrible job defending that puck. It was a bad goal to give the Kings the lead in that second period, and they did not make it stand up, but it still would have been a very dubious way to end the season if that was the final goal of that series. Well, it wasn't, so it wound up going to overtime. The Blackhawks definitely played with desperation. You could see it, and they put so much into this game that they earned what was a very thrilling victory. Yes, they're still down 3-2, but in the NHL, stranger things have happened, and you could certainly make a case for them making a comeback in this series. Think that they can't do it? Well, what happened with the Rangers about a couple weeks ago? They were down 3-1 to the Penguins, and they had Game 7 on the road at Pittsburgh. They came back, and they won that series. So it wouldn't be beyond reproach to see the Blackhawks do the same thing. But the toughest assignment is going to be tomorrow when they play Game 6 at L.A. But, you know, the way that Kane turned it on makes you wonder if the Blackhawks offense might be back. And that is really bad news for the Kings. So, naturally, Kings fans will be a little nervous going into this game, I among them. And it's, you know, nothing is ever certain in life. And the key with all of this is to just not lose perspective with LA. Because about a month ago, the Kings were completely wiped out of the playoffs. In fact, it was exactly a month ago when they were about to play Game 7 in the first round against the San Jose Sharks. And many Kings fans didn't even think it would be that far along. They were down 0-3 in the series. It looked completely over. They came back and they won that series. And then they went after it again. The Kings did. And they were down 3-2 to the Ducks of Anaheim. Anaheim Ducks had them right there. Game 6, so home turf. They defended it, and then they went to Game 7, and the Kings dominated, and they won that series. This time, the Kings have a lead. And the Kings have been making that comeback down from impossible odds. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if it was turned on their face and the Blackhawks did the same thing. In fact, if the Blackhawks were to win tomorrow, they have Game 7 on their home ice on Sunday. And with the Kings having been one period away, because they were up to start the third period, one goal, and a clincher on the line. Then you start to think, well, you know, you start to think, is this time to doubt ourselves? And the Blackhawks may take it there. I feel like if the Kings lose tomorrow, they will lose on Sunday. That's my feeling about that game. Because the Blackhawks will have so much momentum, and they'll have reinvented themselves offensively, which they've already done, but they're going to continue to do so here in game number 6. So I think you could look at game 6 as a virtual game 7 for the Kings. But I think the Kings would still play pretty well in game 7, but I feel like my instincts say if it goes to game 7, it will be the Blackhawks who end up making the Stanley Cup final.
But Game 6 will tell a lot of the story. Will the Kings have enough to come back? Well, they've done it before. I mean, will they rebound from that game? And there's nothing to rebound from. Again, they were already down in that game by a lot, and then they came back and they had the lead even. And they were doing great in the overtime. And really, they had so many good chances in that overtime. They played very well. It's just, you know, things didn't happen. It didn't bounce in. Kopitar had one shot that had bounced off the post. You know, it's these things happen. It's not like they did anything wrong. It just didn't work out. And same for the Blackhawks. They did a lot, and it did work out for them. So we might have just evened up the series. That's sort of my impression of this. I mean, the Blackhawks look completely dominant in games one and two. Well, games one and some of two. And then the Kings look unstoppable in games three and four and part of two. Game five seemed to be where the series started to bounce. Course correction. And now you've got a series where I think you could now say that you're at a point where it's a two-game series. And if the Kings win the game, then they've got it. If they don't win, then probably the Blackhawks have it. So that's why Game 6 is going to be pretty exciting. Very intense. And I mean, it has to be a one-goal game. I mean, how else would it be? Unless the Blackhawks just simply dominated and they won by five. But I think it's either going to be... I don't think the Kings... I mean, I hope the Kings wouldn't do that. But you never know. Nothing is really impossible in the NHL. I think we've learned that 100 times already. So now I'm moving on to the Eastern Conference Final. The Rangers are currently up in Game 6 after having a pretty bad defensive Game 5. But they come in Game 6 and they have a lead, but they're only up 1-0. And there's 12 minutes, 25 seconds to go in the affair. So we'll continue to track this. Rangers are up 3-2. They're at Madison Square Garden, their home ice. And they're down to the final 12 minutes of regulation. The question is, can they hang on? We will find out, and we will report the news to you. But first, we bring in our first guest, Jeremy from New Jersey. And it's great to have him back. It's been a while. Jeremy, how's it going tonight?
Good, how you doing?
Doing great. Are you watching this Ranger game tonight?
I have it on in the background, so yes, I can see it.
Great. Yeah, This is a dramatic moment. I mean, Ranger fans have not been to the Stanley Cup Final in 20 years. And frankly, neither have the Canadians, for that matter. They haven't been since 93. That was the year before. So this is a big game. I mean, there's a lot of history that could be written just from this one game tonight. And did you see that save in the second period by Henrik Lundqvist? It was the save of the season. I mean, that puck was fluttering in the air. I thought it was in. And he saved it. I mean, could you believe that save?
To be perfectly honest, I literally turned on maybe beginning of this period. I didn't get home until I didn't get home until around 9:30.
Oh, okay.
Started
okay.
Eating at 9:30.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
understood.
Was being active, not actually giving a damn about these games, even though I should. But I did say. And I probably said this to Tom also, I saw no way that the Rangers would lose this game. And if they did lose this game, Montreal's winning game seven. That's just my opinion.
I think in a similar vein to as what I was saying about the Chicago series, I agree with you. I think if Montreal comes back to win this one, they'll get seven. I don't even think that's an issue. I know that a lot of times you'll say, well, anything can happen in the playoffs. But in particular in this case, Montreal is so tough to beat there, and the Rangers already had two wins there. It's just like, it would be just too much to ask them after all this to win a Game 7 in Montreal. So I agree. I feel like this is going to be the chance for the Rangers if they're going to make the Cup Final this year after a 20-year drought. This is going to be it.
Yeah, I just think it's just simply, my opinion, a momentum thing, but definitely when give the Rangers 0% chance. They have, like, I would say, one of the better goalies in the playoffs outside of maybe Jonathan Quick.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, they both have the ability to really reach amazing heights. And they don't do it all the time. I mean, Game 5 for both guys didn't really play that great. I mean, for the entirety of the game. So, but at their best, they are truly among the elite of the elite in goaltending.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Martin St. Louis for actually showing up and showing some gutsy hockey there and playing like I knew he was capable of. I know that some Ranger fans are skeptical when they did the deal, but I just thought it was such a steal of a deal. You weren't re-signing Callahan. Martin St. Louis is an all-star for a reason, and this is the type of game he lives up to the potential. So, got to give props to him.
Yeah, good stuff. A good thing with St. Louis. I mean, he's rebounding. I mean, he lost his mother recently. It was a very emotional time for him right now, and he really used that time to play his best hockey of the season. So it's really, really been quite something. So we have 10 minutes, 8 seconds to go. Faceoff at center ice. Doesn't mean anybody scored. No one scored. It's still the same score, 1-0. So we will continue.
Yes, sir, 1-0.
Yeah.
Oof, nice to see the shot. 26-14 Rangers. Wow, you can't win a game with 14 shots.
Yeah, you know, the Rangers really look really look like they want this game. They started the game 7-1 shots in that first period. And it really showed that the energy that they put into this. It's actually kind of remarkable they're only up 1-0. I mean, only one goal. And, but that is how these big games go. I mean, we'll see whether they push this off, pull this off. Now, we have some other things to talk about tonight, and we'll switch to the NBA momentarily as we see this game come to its conclusion. Jeremy, with the big news today regarding the LA Clippers, it appears that through the help of Donald Sterling's wife, Shelley Sterling, the team will be sold to ex-Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, a nutty guy, an absolutely insane human being, and he will pay $2 billion for the Clippers to be his team. So we could be in for a treat, and he will take the antics to new heights with the Clippers. The question is he going to be a meddler? And it's hard to say at this point. People who know Ballmer well seem to think that he will not. But what is your impression so far of this very different owner entering the world of the NBA?
I'm very, very happy that it hopefully will come to a quick conclusion. And it's just going to really be dependent upon how much Donald really, truly fights, you know, hearing the
right.
Knicks opinion. Uh-oh. As we have a Ranger breakaway.
Oh, did you see that? They just missed the goal.
Tarski. Yeah.
Wow.
But you got to be happy that, you know, the process is doing its due diligence as it should. Adam Sterling what can you say about the guy? Did a fantastic job when it came down to the that's the word I'm looking for. Coming down hard on Sterling with the punishment. I couldn't have been happier. And from reading those tweets, obviously the players were. And the one thing that shocked me is when actually Magic Johnson was considering coming into the mix, him being a Lakers fan. And also, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently Jack Nicholson was at some of the Clippers games.
You know, that's not as surprising as many would might believe. I mean, I got a kick out of it. I was laughing during that whole thing. But he's so desperate for playoff basketball, he'll go to a Clipper game. But he does that, though. I mean, he goes to other games. He's actually been to games for other teams. He may have even gone to, like, some Bulls games back when they were good. I can't confirm that. But he loves good sports. And so he will do that once in a while. He'll go to a Laker road game. Like he was in, you know, back in the day, the salad days of the NBA almost. He would go during the Lakers Boston finals, you know, Magic Bird, and he would go to the Boston games too, which is really incredible at the time. I mean, just imagining that. But he had a good time with the fans. The fans had a good rapport with him, even though he was in Boston, because obviously he's a famous actor too, anyway, right? So. That was always very humorous to watch that kind of footage from, you know, 30 years ago. Anyway, as far as the Clippers, this is a new era, and I, like you, am surprised this went down so quickly.
I think this is great, but again, it's probably going to take some time for this to be completely official, and I'm just a little confused about where Donald Sterling is, because he says he's going to authorize the sale of the team, and then he says he's going to fight it. It's just like, he can't even make up his own mind. It's just kind of at a point where you wonder about Donald Sterling's mental stability. I don't know where he is right now.
Me personally, I think I'll fight it. That's just my opinion. Going based on what I've seen, just based on the person and based on just basically the idiocy basically of the man who is Donald Sterling. Like, it's just hilarious. And then also seeing some of the stupid comments the supposed girlfriend of a different race made, it serves her right. She got what she deserved being with this guy. Like it's just a comedy of stupidity, and to be perfectly honest with you. And,
right.
You know, like I said, I would love him not to do that, but I expect him to, because really, what does he have to lose?
It's a fair point. I mean, he's going to be stuck. I mean, he's going to fight it. I mean, that's what he's done his whole lifetime, his whole career. He's just been that kind of a dick, really. I mean, he'll fight for his money, and he'll fight for himself, and he's never really been very considerate of other people throughout his lifetime. So I would figure, why would it be any different now? I mean, I am happy to see that he was at least going to authorize some level of a sale, as we just mentioned earlier in the podcast. So that's good. We'll see if it goes through. I mean, we have to wait it out to see whether it's totally official, but this is definitely going to be interesting. And Palmer could be quite a character. I tell you, this is going to be fun to follow here in the LA area. I mean, you got a wacky owner, and you've already got some pretty high profile names owning other teams in the area. It'll be interesting. It really will.
If he's gonna be smart about it, it would be better not to say anything, not really get involved other than maybe dealing with some of the players, you know, one on one, and or just spending the money. If he learns his lesson from what Donald Sterling did, I would just keep yourself out of the media at least for the time being and just not get involved.
Right, oh, for sure. So I know that we're both watching this game right now in New York, and it's just sheer drama, especially when you talk about 1-0. I mean, 1-0 games are amazing. Like, it's, you know, some games you want to have a lot of scoring, but in the NHL playoff format, this is really what it's all about. I mean, it's all hinging on one goal. Any one goal could either blow this. Did they score? No. Oh, I was just saying, yeah, you're right. About any one goal could either put this thing away or tie it up. So it's just crazy. Now we're under 6 minutes to go. I mean, under 7 minutes to go, excuse me. Man, this is good. Are you, now I don't know, you're not a huge hockey guy. Oh, sorry, Jeremy, I didn't mean to interrupt. But I know you're not a huge hockey guy, but have you been following the Rangers during?
I'm actually, in the past, I'd say, 5 to 10 years, I've become more of a hockey guy.
Oh, okay.
It just wasn't, I was me. As a kid, I didn't go, so, but, you know, we, you know, didn't particularly care for the Rangers, and I was, you know, I watched the hockey as a youth, but, you know, mainly went to the basketball and baseball games, and I guess I got older, got more into the football and the hockey, and we actually went to the, first game of the Devils and Kings series.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize this.
Yes.
Which game was it?
Yes, I did. Game one, Stanley Cup.
Oh, game one, the Kopitar overtime winner. That was, for me, a thrill.
The main problem with the Devils has always been the scoring and show there. They, you know, defense has always been pretty good, I would say the least, but the offense has left a lot to be desired, and they frankly played pretty bad in that series. And I knew coming in, I don't remember who you guys had played before, but I was really hoping I wouldn't face the Kings. I just had a bad feeling it wouldn't be a good end for the Devils, but I had never gone, and I was like, told my dad, we're going, because I've never been to a Stanley Cup game. So we went, you know, paid the ridiculous amount of money for it.
And I'm sorry, and you know, it's
we want it, but
right. I tell you, it's YOLO, right? I mean, you only live once. I mean, if you have a chance to do something, especially like that, I mean, a championship series, if you can swing it, I say do it. I mean, it looks like you did. I had a similar outcome of about a week ago when I went to the Game 7 of... No, it was not 2 weeks ago. I went to Game 7 of the... Yeah, the Kings Ducks. And that was...
Great.
It was electric. Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty cool, buddy.
How was the Anaheim fans?
That was a fun experience. I mean, you're talking about teams. No, what's really funny is that on our I was in the Kings end of the ice, so we had a lot of Kings fans there. And when the Kings were rolling, the Kings fans in the building took over. It was really loud, like, but in the Kings' favor. It's really odd to hear, but it was basically a really good. It was a really good time, and Ducks fans were very, very, very good fans. I mean, they didn't rough it up, or they didn't really do any dirty stuff at the end of the game. They were into their team too, but there wasn't much for them to yell about because they were in the early going. They were really getting beat. So, but that series had definitely been a lot of fun, and Ducks fans are good natured, and Kings fans are for the most part good natured. Although they have a little bit of hijinks too. It's a good time. Now, the Rangers are on a power play right now as we continue our podcast.
Yes,
this is a big, big moment, Jared.
5:39 to go, still 1-0, started the power play.
Yeah, big power play. Proust is the one who gets called for the infraction. Did you see what that was? I have to glance at the screen only, like, you know, intermittently.
I think it was a slash or a hook of some sort. I would honestly have to look it up for you because I saw what happened, and then I saw the...
Let's just watch this power play. Ranger power play notorious for being inept. We will see if they can turn it around this time around. Let's look. So here we go. He's right in front of the net. Oh, a stop. And we're down to
five.
It was a
slash by Brandon Prust.
Oh, the slash. Okay, so Prust with a slashing penalty. Yeah. And so he'll be in the box for the next 1 minute 17 seconds. Tokarski stops the goal, and so we are, yep, there it is. This is fun. I'm really glad you're watching this game. We're kind of doing play-by-play. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Jeremy in New Jersey is with me tonight. And we'll continue to cover this game. I mean, we have to do this. I mean, this is just such a big game. A huge chance for the Rangers. If you're watching yourself, great. If you're not, tuned to NBC Sports Network, NBCSN, 220 on DirecTV. Another save by Tokarski, and this puck is stopped. So, woo.
So then I got to pose a question to you.
Okay.
If Kings go to Stanley Cup, are you going to a game?
It all depends on the money. It all depends on the money. But I did make a promise to my friend Kevin. Kevin, a.k.a. Floyd Merriweather from TMF.com. We said to ourselves, okay, if the Rangers meet the Kings in the playoff, in the final, it's a huge if. I mean, again, either of these series could turn on a dime. And we're at that point where we're really... Montreal, I know there's 4:43 left, but they could score a goal and they could tie it up. But let's just say they did. If that's the matchup, is that a delay a game penalty?
But
no penalty. Okay.
Talking it over. They're talking it over.
Okay. So what happened was that a player cleared the puck. Is it a penalty? They're gonna call it.
Boy.
So you cannot shoot the puck over the glass without it deflecting off of something first.
Doc just said no penalty.
Oh, no penalty. Okay.
No penalty.
Well, let's look at this replay. Who did it go off of? It didn't go off of anybody. Shouldn't that be a call?
Wow.
That's a bad call.
If anything, it must have went off a Ranger because they took it out of the zone. Wow. I don't know.
Someone said that one of the guys on Twitter said it could have gone on Pouliot.
I didn't see it. I thought it was just a delay of game, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just look. I mean, I'm looking at it from like, you know, like 30 feet, like from like 20 feet away. The TV screen is 20 feet away from me, but that looked like it didn't go off anything. But it doesn't matter now. There's only 4 minutes left in this game. There's only 4 minutes left in regulation anyway. So
it looks like another NF power play for
yep.
the Rangers.
Yeah, it looks like that's how it's going
to
finish.
Going to like 3.5.
Oh, boy. 3 minutes. 40 seconds left. 42, 38, 37. Okay. We're just going to keep following this, fellas. So we're watching the Rangers and the Canadians right now as we speak. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio with Jeremy in New Jersey. We're so close to the end of the game. I think we're just going to basically watch this together and just see how this goes.
So I'm going to do this, my lock of the week.
Okay.
Los Angeles Kings going to the Stanley Cup Final. That's my lock.
Well, that's not much of a lock. I mean, that means that they're going to win one out of two games.
Yeah, and then we could go and say my other lock is the Miami Heat going to the finals.
That would have been worse. That is funny. That's funny. Well,
no, I just really feel like the Kings are going to win. I just feel like their offense has really impressed me. And to be honest with you, whoever wins the West, I think, is winning the final.
Yeah, I would agree with too. They're just showing themselves to be much stronger teams. The whole conference, really, but these two teams in particular have looked really good. I mean, the way that the Kings.
Great play.
Stopped.
Dave. Nice wow. Dave. This goalie has really impressed me.
Tokarski having his moments tonight for Montreal. And like you said, a breakaway shot from. Who was it? Let's see. Again, I don't have direct line of sight with the TV, so I'm always looking.
I can't see either. So
okay, that was
Broussard.
No, Broussard. Okay.
Broussard.
Yeah, number 16. Yeah, Derek Broussard. Derek Broussard. Here we go, down to the nitty gritty. 2:22 left. Here we go. Here we go. You sound like you're on speakerphone. Are you on speakerphone tonight?
I just have the headphone in.
Okay. I got you. Nah, that's all right. That's all right. I usually do that when I'm on the phone too. Like on my cell phone, I put the headphones
can
on.
Can you hear me good?
I can hear you fine right now. It was a struggle in the beginning though.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, last 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Icing,
okay.
So, do they pull the goalkeeper?
Oh, yeah. I think this will be an appropriate time to do so. Wait. Who's pulling the goalkeeper? Well, they can't pull him yet. They're in their own zone. They can't do it now.
No. It's in the Ranger zone.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're in the...
Icing.
Right.
I think give it 15 seconds in the zone or something like that, and they might pull.
Oh, yeah, because they iced it. That's right.
Once they face off...
They're going to – yeah, you're right. Okay. So we're down to the final 2 minutes. Yes, there should be an empty net now because the – oh, there goes the puck.
All right.
And why – yeah, Tokarski's still there, but I think as we get to the next faceoff, the play has stopped. Here he goes. There he goes.
Now
he's out. He's coming off the ice. The Montreal goaltender coming off the ice in these final – man, I'm not even rooting for either of the teams. I'm getting all excited here. This is something else. Oh, man. How are you?
No, I got to really give you this, man. This is props to Mr. Tom Kiernan of Rumsfeld, New Jersey. He really turned me on to the playoffs this year. I didn't watch it last year, but I watched it this year, and the playoffs have been fantastic, especially that Wild and Blackhawks series and the Wild and Avalanche series were wonderful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely great hockey. Really intense, really tight, these games. Really good. Now we're down to the final 1:35, and it looks like Montreal giving it their last gasp. They've got a good cycle going though. Here we go. 1:25.
Got to get on the net.
Oh my goodness! Here we go.
Good passing.
They might have a shot here. Oh!
Dave. Maybe it's his head.
Did they call a penalty? What happened there?
He made the save.
That is a great save. You are right. Here it is. Oh, it was deflected. It was deflected. Let's look. It did in his head. It hit Lundqvist's head. Oh, my goodness. Well, you do whatever you got to do to win these games, right? Even if you bump it with your noggin. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that is nice.
Hockey's the best, man. This is intense.
No, it's people need to jump on board. I'm sorry, but I love it. I really got into it. It's just I love the pace and everything.
This is so good. Now, I gotta answer your question that you asked me a while ago. Yes, I will go if the price is right. I would go to that game. Kevin in from Torrance and I said, hey, let's go to a game if we get the teams that we think we're going to get in that final. So we will see. So I'll try to. I mean, I tried to 2 years ago, too, but it didn't really work out. Didn't really have the money at the time. I could make it work here.
No, Ryan, I understand.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. Trust me on that. And I was in decent seats, and it was not cheap. But wow. I was like, we're going. I said, we've never won before, so we're going. And we did pretty good. I got to say we were pretty loyal. We went to... Never say. We went to the Devils and Flyers when Alexei Ponikarovsky had the game winner in overtime. And that was awesome.
Nice. Yeah, Flyers.
Like, he had Ilya Bryskov, who's a horrible goalkeeper and gave a lot of head goals in that series, made a save. He it came back to him in midair and he whacked him in the rebound. It was wonderful.
Beauty.
Remember that. And then he wasn't with the team next year. Go figure.
Well, he's a terrible. Like you said, he's a terrible goaltender.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
All right, 54 seconds. We're just kind of watching this with the rest of America here. This is pretty exciting. 1-0 Rangers, and it's out of the zone. It's out of the zone. Oh man,
40 seconds to go. 1-0 Rangers.
And I think.
Not looking good.
Boy, this game is unbelievable. Oh, man. Twitter is going bananas right now.
If you're a Rangers fan, I give you credit. If you haven't had a heart attack yet, it's probably going to be difficult.
Yeah, no question. This is insane. This is just simply unbelievable. If you are an objective fan, like not without a dog in a fight, this is a treat. If you're rooting for one of the teams, however, it must be just pure torture. I mean, it's worth it if you win, but we'll see if they do. 33 seconds left. Face off at center ice. And whoa. Okay.
Ooh, nice save. All right, keeping it up.
What happened?
Hand pass. Ooh, a hand pass.
Wow, that's not a penalty, it will stop the clock. Yeah,
I thought it was illegal.
You can catch the puck and drop it, but you can't pass it. So that is called what you said a hand pass, and we will see. So, ooh.
Yeah, basically passed it into that.
7:38 Pacific time, as we continue to cover this game. Game 6 is the Eastern Conference Final in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. The winner, if the Rangers win, they go to the first Stanley Cup Final since 1994. 20 seconds. It's cleared.
Wow. One more shot.
Cleared again. They couldn't even get him off.
This is over.
Here we go.
This is over. About to be over. It's over.
2 seconds.
Your New York Rangers.
They got it! Rangers win the East Final. Congratulations!
Congratulations.
2014 New York Rangers have made the Stanley Cup Final.
As it pains me.
I hear you.
But they earned it. But wasn't easy. Should have been easier than six, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, win's a win and win.
Yep.
They'll have their time off. And it starts on the fourth.
Yep, the 4th of June. I think that's next. That's Wednesday coming up. Boy, what a that was as thrilling a finish as you're gonna see. I'm gonna tweet that finish as you're gonna see. NHL because it's the cup. And how. Congrats to the Rangers. Look at this. Even Jimmy Fallon's excited. Jimmy Fallon has checked in. This is insane. This is the best.
David, you forgot an and. You need another and how.
And how. And how. Oh. This is great. This is pretty thrilling. I'm happy. This is going to be such an incredible juice for the city of New York and for the NHL anyway. I don't know why Bettman is always pushing for these small market teams to make the final. I mean, look how exciting this is. I mean, you don't want this? It's like the two of the preeminent long-time franchises of the NHL and the two original six teams going after gold, basically. And honestly, this was great. This was a lot. I'm sorry that – I know you're a Devils fan, I think. And
No, I said this to Tom in the beginning of the series, and this was before even the injury. I thought the Rangers were going to win, but then you have the injury, and I said, I think I quote, I said in six, actually, I think Rangers in six, and they got really lucky. I think if they played Boston, they do not beat Boston, but Boston didn't finish it off, so with Montreal, Rangers earned it. Rangers are in the cup. Congratulations to you guys. Like I said, it pains me to say, you guys are in the cup, and go Kings or Blackhawks.
All right. Well, we'll see. We will see it happen. We will see it happen. This will be...
What time is that game tomorrow?
It'll be 9 o'clock Eastern time to accommodate the Pacific time zone slightly. 6 o'clock is still early for us, but... So we will have that game.
They put on the NBC again?
Yeah, same channel. NBCSN. And
okay.
If the game goes to seventh game, I believe that'll be on NBC proper on Sunday. It may not be, but I believe it will be. So
that would make sense. It would be on Sunday or Monday, because then the Wednesday, like you said, would be when the final would start. So it'd probably be on Sunday to get prime time.
I'm just congratulating all my friends who are Ranger fans on Twitter. They've been through a lot. I mean, I remember the same thing happening when the San Francisco Giants, and I hate the Giants. But many of my friends are Giants fans, and they went through a lot of grief in their path to getting their championship in 2010. And I could feel for them. You know, honestly, even though I hate the Giants, I was happy for my friends. And I think that really that conquers all to me. I think that's what sports is all about. So. I think that was cool.
So that means I expect a message when the Mets actually once in my lifetime make the World Series. That would be something.
Guys, if anybody deserves something, the Mets fans who've been through probably some of the worst things that could have happened, and if they, you know, certainly deserve some love if they ever reach that azimuth again. I will totally do that. I will totally congratulate you.
No, but... No one needs it more than the Cubs. Oh, man. And my cousin is a Cubs fan, so I feel for them. But, you know, it's the only team I feel for. I don't really particularly care for any of the Chicago other teams. So the other teams can do bad, but I feel bad for the Cubs.
Good stuff. We are just about soaking in all this excitement. Look at this. The Rangers are going to the Cup Final, and it's truly, truly a big day in New York. New York has really been just dying for some kind of excitement on a championship level. We haven't seen a New York team. Well, okay, the Giants did it like a couple years ago, so I guess New York isn't that
Giants
bad.
Giants did it every couple years.
So I guess it's not that bad. But
But for a team like the Rangers, who have really not even really had not had their chance at a Cup final in 2 decades, this is a big moment. I mean, here comes the I believe it's the Prince of Wales Trophy. I think they still call it that, even though it's the East Final now, not the Prince of Wales Conference Final. This is
would have no idea. You know better than me.
Okay, fair enough. We will get this thing rolling, and we will continue this.
Prince of Wales, there you go.
Oh yeah, Prince of Wales. Okay. Prince of Wales. Okay.
Yep.
There you are. There you are.
On the money, dude.
I love it. This is great. I mean, and for a lot of people, this is certainly. And how could I forget my friend Kevin himself? Kevin from Torrance.
No, it's just some of these Ranger fans make me not want them to win. And then there's ones like Tom that I can deal with. But, you know, that's how it goes, you know? Some of them, like, have these ridiculous non-stop things. And, look, I still... I'll believe it when I see it.
Did you see whether they touched the trophy, whether they touched this trophy or not? Because I know there's a superstition where they don't touch the trophy for the conference because they want the cup. Like, they want the Stanley Cup.
I didn't see anybody touch it, to be honest with you. I just saw a picture.
Okay.
But they didn't really show much outside the picture, so.
Yeah. It's hard for me. I can't see the screen dead on, so I have to keep turning away to find it.
Commercial.
It doesn't seem like they did, though. It looks like they just avoided that thing. So this will be interesting. Now, here's an interesting scenario. You know, playing off of what you were saying earlier to me, what do I do here? I mean, the Kings have won a championship 2 years. The Kings won a championship 2 years ago. So if it comes down to it, it's a game seven. What do you do? Do you root really hard for your team to win anyway? I think you do. But if they lose, I think you can take some loss in the fact that so many close friends of yours are going to have a really wonderful moment. And they've waited much longer for that moment, too. So, I don't know. What do you do in that situation? It's a random question.
No, not even debatable. I cheer for my team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy if the other team wins. But for me, obviously, that scenario would never occur. It would have to be a conference final like we had a couple years ago, Devils, Rangers. But I know I have a relative who's a big Kings fan, actually, so I'm very happy for him, and I've been in touch with him when they actually came back from that 3-0, and I was so happy for him, so that was nice, and then they won the next series pretty handily, and then they are one game away, and I think you guys will be at that trophy tomorrow.
I hope so. Tomorrow is going to be a big day for the local team, and certainly an equally big day for Chicago and the Windy City. But in the Chicago, even if they lose tomorrow, well, really, if either team loses, you're talking about two teams who have won a cup final in the last 2 years, so it's not like it's a huge...
I think it would be more of a disappointment to Chicago than it would be to the Kings. I think they expect to be in the final every year.
Fair point. It is a fair point, because they had a pretty good regular season record, and I mean, they kept a lot of the same guys that they had last year, too, so a very good point.
I think it's been, you know, and this is the one problem, I think, that the problem with the Blackhawks, they need to find a true goalie. They need to do some kind of trade, get a goalie. It doesn't have to be the likes of a Jonathan Quick, but somewhere in the middle, like a guy who can win games, because Crawford's not really the answer. He's not that good.
Oh, you mean Crawford, or are you just talking about the defense altogether?
I'm talking about the goalkeeper.
Oh, okay.
They have a decent defense. I know they can play defense, and I know they can score, and that, you know, will come and go, but I haven't really been impressed with any of the keepers they had, even the last time when they had the cup. Mm-hmm. They haven't really had a good goalkeeper in a long time.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. I think we're still talking about Chicago. I've been looking at all, like, three things right now. I'm sorry. But Chicago also won a cup with Antti Niemi. That was back in 2010, and so...
Right.
You know, if they can win with Antti Niemi, they can pretty much win with anybody, so it doesn't really matter.
Their defense is good enough to overcome whatever goaltending deficiencies they have, and they make up for it with what they have on offense. And that really points to how great the defense was for the Kings in these, you know, in most of the series. And that's actually a tribute to their D, because to shut that team down, he scores a lot of goals. I mean, that's really showing a lot. But they haven't been doing it lately, though. Last game didn't happen. So, reason for worry, but at the same time, I mean, not a whole lot to lose, I think, for either team. It's just going to be a fun game out there tomorrow. So we'll see how it happens here in Tinseltown. All right, so this is good. 10 minutes remain. My friend Yachts, John in Greenwich, Connecticut, posted the Mickle Eddie smiley on Twitter. It is being retweeted as we speak. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That was funny.
I guess on a side note, if anyone cares about any of our sports, I believe the Thunder were winning over the Spurs. Yes, they're winning by 17 with 152 remaining in the third.
Are you serious? 17? 17 points?
Oh, wait, excuse me. I read that incorrectly. It's the Spurs by 17. My apologies.
Oh, the Spurs by 17.
Spurs 89. Spurs 89 to 72. Was about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, trying to go up 3-2.
That's
just
good.
Just a little side note. But like I said, nobody cares. Nobody watches basketball on this program.
Good. I love it. It's not nearly as surprising if the Spurs were up by 17. If it was the Thunder up by that much, I would have been shocked, especially on the road like that.
Well, the series has been like that back and forth. The first two games, Spurs kind of dominated. The last two, as well the Thunder. But I really, to be perfectly honest, I don't really watch. And I'm more of a basketball than a hockey fan, but I've watched more of the hockey than the basketball. It just hasn't interested me. I have really no interest in Miami and them, and the Minnesota Storm to see them. I don't really want the Spurs to win, but at the same time, I don't trust the Thunder to give a run for the money for the Heat. So, but in a perfect world, the Miami Heat will not win, but that's wishful thinking.
For sure. And the NBA hasn't really had great series. It really hasn't had great series in the first place. I mean, these conference finals are just not that great. The West Final's good now. I mean, the Thunder responded in a big way, but the second round plus most of this round have been a disappointment. Let's face it; it just wasn't that competitive. And the East Final is just a formality at this point. The Indiana Pacers won last night, but it was not an impressive game at all. It was actually tough basketball to watch. So here you go.
They had, like, I think on the TV they had every stat possible that should have supported the Heat winning, and then somehow the Pacers won. Just, it was probably simply because of all the turnovers. But they were saying something like they had like 23s or something like that. Like they had a couple. They had LeBron did nothing, but they basically belong to the Paul George, who actually finally showed up in a game.
Yeah.
For a bit. And then you have Stevenson with his nonsense, or what so you want to call it. Like, I don't know what this guy is really doing, but not helping his team win. Like, it's just really amping up LeBron when he needs to be amped up. Not that he takes this as motivation, but why would you do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who blows in somebody's ear? I've never heard of that. Forever, and I didn't see it, and I don't really care to see it, but it's just quite humorous.
It's but you know what we could end up with in the NBA? We could end up with a very good NBA Finals, assuming that all goes the way I think it's going to go. I think if San Antonio holds on to this game, obviously they've got a good shot to win the series. They just can't play in Oklahoma City, but there is always an option. There could happen. There could be that one game where Oklahoma City maybe. Maybe if, like, they have the worst game of the season on their home floor, the Spurs may have a little shot at it. But other than that, it's probably just going to come up to San Antonio continuing to win their home games. And provided they continue doing that, they'll be okay. So we'll see. It's intriguing. At least there's something here in the NBA going on. This is good stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know, another side note. I don't know if you care. I'm looking forward to the World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup. We're going to cover that in a couple of weeks. I think it will be it'll start on, I think the June 12th, I believe, is when it starts. And that week, we will begin our World Cup coverage. It'll be World Cup week on the show. So we will have some guys on, and I actually may include my uncle, who is pretty good with international soccer. So we'll talk a little bit about the World Cup. It'll be fun. I look forward to that, too. Any favorites for you?
The bracket of doom.
Yeah. Team USA, I mean, they just were given the worst shot of anybody. It just seems like a raw deal.
Rightfully so. They have two top 10 teams in Portugal and Germany, and then you give them Ghana, who's no strong fever. I don't want to really say there's an agenda against the U.S., but there's an agenda against the U.S., and whoever does these brackets doesn't have a clue what they're doing. It really should go by the there should be some form of, like, where if you're the better-seeded team, should be playing better teams. And I'm not telling them to give a cupcake to the U.S., but don't give them, like, a number 8 and number 10 teams. Maybe give them, like, a, I don't know, like a 15 and a 17 or something like that, and 18. Make it more fair like that. I don't know what the perfect bracketing is, and someone would be unhappy, I'm sure, but I wish there was a way to do it, like they would do like a 1 versus a 16 seed or something like that, but it's not really how the World Cup really works, and it's not like a one and done like the NCAA, but I wish they could do something similar to that. Maybe put a 1 and a 32 in the same bracket, like a 2 and a 31, and something along those lines, and do it like that. But I don't know. It's just my thoughts. But then, you know, like I said, someone is going to end up being unhappy. Like, because there's not any easy way to not give everybody a difficult road.
Right. All right. Well, that's a good.
I just think, you know, two teams was a little much. If it was one team, that'd be fine, but two is. But without looking at anything, if I had to pick the favorite, you know, maybe, you know, I've talked to other people. One person said to me, Brazil, and I responded to them saying, I think they're too old. I would just have to go with repeat champion in Spain. We just have the best players in my country. That's it. Simply put. But I'd have to look at the brackets and see where people are, and then I could give you a better judgment the week of that show.
Interesting. Good. We'll have more to cover with that coming up. Yeah, it's definitely the group of doom, and it'll be tough. So that's all the time we've got tonight, Jeremy. Enjoy the rest of the week. I am hoping that the Kings can be the ones to meet the Rangers in the final, but time will tell. So we'll keep following it and see how it goes. Thanks again, and it was a lot of fun watching the final minutes of this cup game.
Absolutely.
This was good. So
yeah, this has been great.
I appreciate it.
So we will be in touch, and we'll either be discussing by phone a Stanley Cup talk or a Game 7 talk.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. I hope it's not. I hope it's not Game 7. Oh my God. But we'll see. Okay, buddy. Have a great night.
Right.
It's great to catch up with you. All right, buddy. That was Jeremy in New Jersey. Thank you so much, man. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited. I'm just like, it's all coming out. I got to give him a chance to talk. I'm so sorry. That was good. It was good to catch up with him. And we are on for a big final. Whether it's Chicago or Los Angeles meeting the Rangers in this Stanley Cup Final Championship Series, this is just going to be really, really fun to watch. For those of you who follow this program regularly, many of our colleagues who contribute to the show are Ranger fans, and many others are anti-Ranger fans in the form of Devils fans. So, and a few of us are Kings fans, such as me. So it's just going to be great. I even know friends who are Chicago Blackhawk fans. I'll be meeting one of those persons tomorrow at my workplace. And we are we are going to be in for some fun. That's the bottom line. Whether Chicago emerges from this round, or whether the Kings do, it will be a lot of fun. So here we are. Hour number two starts. We won't have time for a top of hour ID. We just want to get right into this. There are things that we could cover with respect to the format of the show. We could talk about how other shows have implemented a format almost exactly like our format. And we could cover how I have made the comparison and the other side and the other persons who happened to do the same kind of thing later in time took offense to that comment and kind of take snipes back at me. But I don't think this is the place for it right now. I mean, the Rangers just won the Eastern Conference in the NHL. The show is about bigger things, and we do want to keep this thing flowing. So we're not going to make this thing all about us. I mean, this is something that Mad Dog Russo would do, kind of take a position and kind of make a show about him. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. All I'm going to say here, if you want to know what I'm talking about, go to my Twitter account, at Dining with Dave. And go to about 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern. You'll see the whole story. It's as simple as that. And we'll just leave it at that. So we will instead cover sports and other topics with our friend Kevin on the Cape once he arrives on the air. It should be a really good time. It should be really good. This is just going to be fun. I mean, you talk about passionate fan bases in the NHL, and the Kings are among those passionate fan bases, even though I know they're not a huge fan base, but they're very loyal. It's a good fan base. Chicago is a huge fan base, also loyal, to a fault almost. Really great fan base. And the Rangers, need I say more, these guys are diehard hockey fans. It's going to be a great time to cover sports here on the show. It's a great time to follow sports in this country. These are the kind of finals you want. I mean, let's be fair here. When you get like the Hurricanes against the Oilers, I mean, now the Oilers used to be awesome back when they had Wayne Gretzky, but the Oilers back then in 2006 were not that great. When you get like series like that or Tampa Bay versus, let's think, if you had like a Tampa Bay versus like Nashville. I mean, it's fresh, but it's like hard to really get a grasp of it because you don't have any context or history behind the two teams. So it's a little unfair to say that, but unless you've seen them and familiarized yourself with these teams and their fans, there's not much story. So it's not always the greatest thing when you have two relatively unknown franchises make the final. Here, that won't be a problem. I mean, the Kings are probably going to be the worst of that bunch. But you're still talking about a team that's been around since 1967 and a team that's certainly had its big moments and had its ride in the sun. That was 2 years ago. And certainly more of the same could be happening here this year. It'll be fun. It's just going to be a good time. I look forward to it. If the Kings make it. If the Blackhawks make it, I probably look forward to it a lot less. But at least the Rangers are in it too, so it'll be a fun watch. We'll see. Tomorrow is going to be a big day. It's going to be a big day. I look forward to seeing how this goes out on. So we'll wait for our friend Kevin on the Cape to join us for the random questions. We've been doing it since summer 2011. 3 years doing this. It's been a lot of fun. And I know that people have really enjoyed it. And we enjoy it too. So if you have questions for us tonight, no reason to wait. Send them in. Write the word question followed by the question itself. And we will answer them in order through the course of this hour. As we close out another hour on this big night for sports. In the NBA, we are continuing to track the Spurs and the Thunder. Spurs are still up by a huge margin. We'll see what happens. It's a lot of fun. You know what I want to do tonight? After this show is over, I want to
I'm going to go to the store and see if they have those white cans of Miller Lite. And I'm going to drink one tonight in honor of my buddy Jabes, JB, in Long Island. Because there's no bigger fan. Well, certainly there are a few bigger fans of the Rangers than he. And he wears it on his sleeve. He wears it. He puts it on his porch. It's he's a huge fan of the team. So if I can find that white Miller Lite can, which I've been meaning to do anyway, but I'll see if I can find it. I'll get that giant one, like the 24-ouncer, and put that on, and get that going after the show. So it would be totally fun. We'll take a look at that as we go along on this evening. Oh my gosh, this has been such a fun night. Thanks again to Jeremy for coming on. Sorry to cut him off at the end. My fault to that. This is truly a good time to be a fan of sports, and it'll be even better if the Kings can win tomorrow night. Oh, man. You know, it was really intense watching two teams I didn't even have a dog in the fight for. Imagine that tomorrow. 1-0. Let's say the Kings have a lead. Third period at Staples. And, you know, the Blackhawks will get, like, Kane and Taze and everybody on the same line. And it'll be, like, 6-on-5. And then maybe Drew Doughty will get a penalty. And it'll be, like, 6-on-4, like, 30 seconds. Just like, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we'll think about that in a little bit. First, let's think about and do America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
Do the dance. It's time for random questions.
Good stuff.
In the city with Kevin on the game.
You can feel the excitement of big weeks in sports, and this is certainly among them. And we'll just continue covering this great landscape of sports as we go along with our second hour co-host, Kevin on the Cape. Kevin, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
It's pretty terrible, Dave. I have to tell you, first and foremost, that I just lost out the bidding for the LA Clippers.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I was right there until the end.
So close.
I was right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, apparently Adam Silver has a problem with me. I bid the same amount as the winning bidder, but
unbelievable.
He's got a problem with
favoritism.
Irish, guys.
What can you do? What can you do?
Yeah,
that's
terrible.
It's terrible.
Something about being $199 billion short or something like that.
Oh, can you imagine that? Nitpicking over that, and you are the suavest guy. That's unfathomable. Unfathomable junk, man. It is. You could have been the coolest owner in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, I would have been the coolest owner. It's not even cool. Well, Mark Cuban's pretty cool.
Mark Cuban's pretty cool. But you would have beat him.
Yeah,
man,
maybe.
Missed opportunity.
Thanks,
not for you, for the NBA. They missed out. They missed out. Oh, baby. So,
I agree.
Despite that setback tonight, or this will be.
I moved on. It was rough news this afternoon, but I've moved on.
Okay, good. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. We are ready to go. The Rangers have won the Eastern Conference Final, so they will be going to the Stanley Cup Final against the who know whats. That we'll find out tomorrow. It could be my team, the LA Kings. It could be the Chicago Blackhawks, an original six team in the NHL. We'll see. And as I understand, the Junkman could not care less about how this goes. So, we move on in that case.
Yeah.
I love it. So anyway, I think it's just been, it's really interesting to follow all these big stories. Like you mentioned, you know, you did not win the Clippers bid, but Steve Ballmer did. The goofball, I mean, he's a total nut job who used to run Microsoft at one time and certainly didn't do a very good job running Microsoft, but he has money. So he'll get the Clippers, and we will see whether he does as well with a pro sports team as he did with a tech company. There's no way to tell.
That's a subtle but very good point out of you, Dave. People who don't know or haven't done any sort of reading or read some biographies, he is a complete nut job. And I think the NBA might sort of regret this one. I mean,
yeah.
I know they love the money and all that kind of stuff, which it's an insane amount of money for a team that doesn't even own their own building. Or I don't know that you would know way more than I would about the TV contracts and that stuff, but I'm pretty sure they don't own the Staples Center. So you're just bidding for the actual team, no real estate.
Right. Great point.
And he's pretty out there. So good luck, Clippers. That should be fun.
Oh, I hear you. I totally agree. That's I don't know. That's a that really could go either way. I mean, that's that guy's unstable. I guess it's my interpretation. He's weird. He's nuts. So we will. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm with you. I have no idea. I guess that's but it could get dicey. That's sort of my impression. But he's enthusiastic. He definitely cares about. He's going to care very much about the Clippers, so he'll be in it. I don't think he'll be an absentee owner. I don't think he will refuse to spend money. He has a lot of money, so I think the money will not be an issue. We'll see. We'll just got to wait that one out, but it just looks, you know, kind of weird. Anyway, we'll find out. But it's going to be enjoyable to watch. Like I said in the beginning of the show, it'll be fun to follow this goofball. I mean, you thought I was nuts. This guy takes it to another level. Oh, man.
Oh. He should hire you.
He might. That's how nutty he is. He's so crazy. He might just hear this show and hire me.
Yeah, you could be his total PR guy. That'd be terrific.
Oh, that'd be fun. Not for everybody else, but for me. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. It would be fun for, I'll tell you who would be fun for. It'd be fun for Twitter, and it'd be fun for Deadspin, and it'd be fun for blogs. It'd be hysterical.
Oh, the best. Totally the best. I love it, Junkman. So, get it rolling. We are just starting peach season too. So it keeps getting better, folks. I mean, as if the NBA finals and Stanley Cup finals weren't enough, we have peaches. I mean, that's where it gets good. This is a great time of the year. I love it. All right. So we are going to start random questions tonight. A little bit early tonight.
Nothing says. I'm glad. I'm just going to start with this one. Nothing says June like hockey and peaches.
That is a quote of the night. I will contend with that. I contend that. Let's do it. So random questions. Write the word question followed by the question itself. We are looking for a couple quickies. Where is that man? Hopefully he can make it back on the message board. Or make it back on chat so that you can ask us some random questions. It's a big night. Big night for New York. Big night for hockey. Big night all around. So we will start. The first question out of the box comes from In Blue Heaven, who lives in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area. And
nice.
Here we are.
Good town.
I've heard good things. This will be fun. So good, humorous guy. Let's start. First question. If you could own one sports team, which one would it be? He asked this question before you found out you made a bet on the Clippers, so it sounds like you wanted to get the Clippers franchise. But
No, I just don't want, my billions just sitting around doing nothing.
I gotcha.
So I just wanted to throw some.
It was a good opportunity.
So
yeah.
The question was, what baseball team or what was it?
Any sports team, any sport. Like if you could choose any team in any sport. Yeah.
Well. It's no secret that I'm a bigger baseball fan than I am any other sports fan or any other fan of any sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is going to sound completely insane and completely ridiculous, but I would actually prefer... Oh, man. This is off the top of my head. I'm just going on my gut reaction to that question. I would love to own a really, really... nice triple-A baseball team. The Pawtucket or the Yankees or the Braves triple-A team, the Cardinals. You know, there's really no pressure. You see the future stars. Every once in a while, one of the big stars comes down on a DL stint. It's just fun. Everyone's happy there. There's all sorts of cool little promotions, and everyone leaves smiling because they only spent $50 instead of $500 at the game. I don't know. I'm sort of into that whole sort of low anxiety, low pressure, kind of just go relax and see some fun baseball kind of thing. I really don't have to be famous, Dave. I'm already famous. I don't need to be famous.
That's a very good point. And so you have a nice gig with that, with a minor league team. Low maintenance. I think I could sense that from your description. It's a low maintenance gig. Am I right?
Yeah, maybe in, you know, some nicer weather area than I live in. You know, maybe Charleston, South Carolina, or Asheville, North Carolina. Something where it's nice out all year round. Something like that.
I like, yeah, North Carolina is sweet. That's a good place to be. Beautiful place. Apparently very good weather, too. Well, relatively speaking. So, that's pretty awesome all the way around. I got a big report to bring to you before we get to our next random question. Here it is.
Breaking news.
Unless it's a joke. Because you know the thing is on Twitter, you can't tell sometimes whether people are making up fake news or if it's real. So I need to look at this ticker to double check on this.
What is the breaking news?
Well, I'm getting a tweet from How About a Fresca, who would be Jason Smith. He hosts a show on Fox Sports Radio. He used to do an overnight show on ESPN Radio years ago. He writes, ESPN reporting Donald Sterling has been declared mentally incapacitated, allowing Shelly Sterling to sell the team. Wow, huh?
Right.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
So, see, first of all, I don't believe that because it's, 8 o'clock at night over in the West Coast. What does that even mean, declared mentally? Wouldn't you have to go before a judge or a doctor of some sort, or a combination of all those things? For a human being, or a businessman and a lawyer, to be declared mentally incapacitated, I would assume, I'm not an expert, that there would have to be some sort of trial with experts testifying. I don't think this sounds made up to me.
It does, but it looks like we're getting some pretty credible sources on this now. So here's some more details on that particular story. Ramona Shelburne, who's
she's got it all.
Ramona Shelburne is with ESPN Los Angeles, and she covers the Lakers and some other topics, but she does have her own radio show too on her local ESPN station. She reports the Sterling Family Trust had rules and guidelines about mental incapacitation. Very recently, so that means like within the last 2 weeks, Donald was found by experts to be incapacitated. I'm going to retweet this. This was actually already retweeted by a colleague of mine, friend, my neighbor Rocco, downstairs, apartment number, I don't know what apartment number, but downstairs. I won't say the apartment number, that's not safe, but downstairs, anyway. And so anyway, continuing on, Ramona Shelburne says, once that happened, Shelly became sole trustee and had power to do the deal with Ballmer, which is now being sent directly to the NBA for approval. So if you're wondering how that transpired so fast, because we heard that Donald Sterling was going to totally fight this. Apparently he's lost his marbles. So this is breaking news.
I changed my tune. If Dave's downstairs neighbor, Rocco, says it, then I believe it.
he retweeted the tweet from Ramona Shelburne, so that's how I got wind of it. But it was her reporting the report.
I don't know what that means in the Twitter world.
It just means that it's her. It's you know, I'm not joking here. I'm dead serious. Rocco actually has a radio show now. He's going to be on Fox Sports Radio now. True story. If you tune in to your local Fox Sports station from 8 a.m. Eastern to like 11 a.m. Eastern, you will hear the voice of my neighbor.
He has been terrific. Yeah, he's been appointed to do a show. Imagine that. That's some good stuff. I'm very happy for him. I think it's pretty cool. And I could only imagine how nervous one would be doing that. But he's got some experience in radio already, so I'm happy for him. Kudos. Rocco Pendola. You'll hear him Sunday mornings on Fox Sports Radio. Check it out. And he will be like one of the lone few voices on that network that I can probably stand, because most of that network is hard to listen to. But he does a good job, and he keeps it real. And if you like hockey, that's the place to be. Unfortunately, that doesn't apply to a lot of people listening to Fox Sports Radio, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But anyway, he'll cover a lot of stuff. It'll be good. Okay. Yeah, and in case you're wondering, my friend Rocco also writes for The Street. That's Jim Cramer's website. So I think I'm allowed to bring that up, because you certainly don't want to, you certainly want to promote a guy like that. I mean, that's the good stuff. That's a good deal. But anyway, we'll continue on this program. Here we go. A lot of questions tonight, Junkman. So let's continue.
Nice.
Let me know if you hear that show. Let me know how it goes, because I've heard him do some other fill-ins. Good stuff. It's a good show. I'm a fan. So here we go. We have some good questions. I said I wasn't going to bring this up, but it's getting brought up, so we will get to that a little later in the program. Let's go. Cookies is in the mix, writing the questions as well. That's a big story for us, because that means some great questions are coming up. Okay, question number two. What is your all-time favorite summer song?
Ooh, summer song.
Summer song.
Does that have to have, like, the summer in the title? Or just sort of what song you think of the summertime?
It can be about summer. It can be about summer.
It's got summer in the title. It doesn't make me think of the summer so much. I don't think of barbecues and the beach because of that song.
Which song?
You know, that Summer in the City.
Oh, Hot Town, Summer in the City.
Yeah,
that one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's got summer in the title, but it wouldn't be something I would... I don't know. I don't know, summer is about sunshine and relaxing with your friends, maybe on the beach. I don't do that anymore, obviously, because I work, but... my eternal summer, you know, if you had to just be on eternal vacation, I'm going to have to just say Margaritaville, Dave.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. Really, it's really tropical. Jimmy Buffett with that, dude. Not bad. Not bad. Okay. It's a good one. Okay. Great. Let me give you my answer. My favorite summer song. There's a lot of great summer songs, though. I mean, a lot of them came out. I mentioned that Summer in the City. In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry. There was Summer of 69 by Brian. You know what? It's weird. I think all of these were replayed by Mike Francesa like a couple years ago. Maybe that's how I remember them. But there are a lot of summer songs. But this is the summer song I enjoy the most. Take a listen. This song is called Sausalito Summer Night. It came out about 1980. And it's from a Dutch group called Diesel, or Diesel. It's a fun song. It's good stuff. So we'll let this play in the background while we continue our random questions. Okay, so here we go. Next question. This comes from a couple quickies. What is the best Bob Dylan song that is underplayed or unknown? So like a lesser known song. What do you think is the best Bob Dylan song that didn't get a lot of play in radio or critics or whatever?
I can't hear anything you're saying over that music.
Oh. All right, let me say that again. I am so
that
sorry.
That was a horrible song.
Never, oh, come on. Oh, you're going to do that? Come on, I like that song. That's a good song. Anyway, next.
Next question. Having bypassed that topic. What is the best Bob Dylan song that is underplayed or unknown?
Oh, well, most Bob Dylan songs are underplayed when you speak of radio play.
I have to agree with that, yeah. But even critically acclaimed. Like, you know, like a lot of critics say, oh, this is the greatest, best song. Or you read about, the Rolling Stone thought this is the best song.
Or people, Hurricane wasn't on the radio, but people know it because of the guy's story in the book, those kind of things. Underappreciated or underplayed. That's a tough one, because, Dylan Mongo's would just destroy any answer I gave, because they know every song and every lyric and the meaning of every, what they think is the meaning of every lyric. So it's hard. I'll have one that you may have heard of the name of the song. It's my favorite song that I've, as far as live performances that I've seen him do. It's a song that most Dylan guys know, and it's an old one, but it's been redone a few times. It's called One Too Many Mornings.
Ooh.
And some of the lyrics in there are really cool, and a short story about it is the first Dylan concert I ever saw. I was there with my brother, and he brought a friend of his, and they did this. Because Dylan Live isn't much of a, it's not like the Grateful Dead or something. He's not like much of a jammer. There's no like really long solo. But he opened up with like a 3-minute intro, and none of the three of us who knew him pretty well could name the song. We were all like, what is this? What's going on? What's going on here? And I looked at my brother and his friend, and I said, I don't care what this song is. It's my favorite song of he's ever played. He had yet to speak a word. I knew the song backwards and forwards, but the intro is totally different. And that's one that's... It became popular because he played it on the 66 tour when he went electric.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an acoustic song originally. I think it was on his second or third album. So that would be my choice. It's one of my top favorite songs of his.
Did you say, now what was the name of the song again? What was it called? Sunday Morning Coming Down?
That's Johnny Cash.
No, that's what I didn't. So what was it called again? I just forgot the name again.
One Too Many Mornings.
One Too Many Mornings. Okay, cool. One Too Many Mornings. You know, we have a lot of songs about mornings too. Morning Has Broken. Morning.
The good one. Okay.
Morning After. One Too Many Mornings is the name of the song from Bob Dylan. Cool. I gotta check that out on YouTube sometime, so I'll look at that up. Thanks, Junkman. Okay, next question. Up next. It's an interesting one. A couple quickies asks, what sock length do you prefer? Hidden, ankle, or the kind that cover your calf?
What was the beginning of that? What sock length?
The length of your sock.
Oh. Well, as you can imagine, I have different lengths of my socks. I don't know about you. As far as... I go with the calf for work. During the day, but I'm an ankle sock guy at night, or relaxing at home.
So you like the ankle length and the calf. It's pretty cool. It's interesting that you mentioned that you have a bunch of different lengths of sock. That's an interesting observation. Some people probably only want to keep it to one length, Some people have many lengths. So it's interesting to observe, where you stand on that. Me personally, I have a couple different lengths, but most of mine are just calf length. So they don't go all the way up to the knee, but they do definitely cover the ankle. So most of them are
calf height, so to speak. Am I right? Yeah, calf height. So that's my length. My go-to, just a regular length. It's a standard sock length. Ankles are kind of awkward to wear, and so too are the ones that go up to the knee. Like, that's like NBA socks. Like, you know those socks that go all the way up? Oh, no, that's soccer socks. Like, they go all the way up to the knee. And they're like, man. I try to wear them, and when it ends up happening, I walk around, and they fall down. So I'm just like, eh. I think I'll go back to, like, you know, typical length sock instead. So, regular.
Yeah, that's a lot of sock right there, dude.
It is.
All the way up to your knee like that. Mm-hmm. It was like pants.
Yeah, it is. And I think they invented them back when they wore, like, the short shorts, because they had to cover up something. Okay. kind of weird. But anyway, next question. Here it is. Coming up from John in Georgia. What is your favorite 1960s band that does not include the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
John in Georgia, who I also, in my own world, refer to as the master of questions.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. That's very kind of you to say. And
the 60s band that's mm-hmm. not the Beatles or the Rolling Stones.
A lot of good choices.
Well, it's really not a choice or a. It's pretty. This one's an easy answer for me. Because when you say band, you know, you obviously want a band. You don't want. You can't say Bob Dylan. You can't say. You want a band. You want a real band. You want something like the Doors is would be my second choice.
Doors is good. The Doors has got a lot. I mean, it's an influential band, highly influential band.
And there are some clowns that will say some other bands, but if you want a band, and if I'm going to pick a band, if you want to pick a band, you want to choose a band, I'm going to say the band.
The band is the band, man. That's a fun band. So would they be a 60s band? Because I think that pretty much covers pretty much the 60s, right? Yeah.
Well, they're a 60s band. I mean, they weren't called the band for the first half of the 60s, and then they played with Dylan in the mid-60s, but as the band, they released their first albums in 67 or 68. I think it was 68, the first two albums. So maybe they don't classify as a 60s band, like, you know, with that whole Summer of Love and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Or the Who's a pretty good one because they started late. But I know that their first two albums, Big Pink and their first album, were in the late 60s, so that's my choice.
Very nice, the band, and it's a classic band, no question. You actually raise an interesting point with regard to the lateness in which some of these bands start in the 60s, because when you start pretty late in the decade, you almost wonder if they're considered a 60s band. And one of my favorite bands, top five band, Led Zeppelin. They started in the late 60s, too. And so I don't even know if that qualifies. Like, their first two albums were released in the 1960s. 68 and probably 69. But that's it. And then the rest of their catalog was the 70s. So they're more of a 70s band than the 60s band. But that would be my choice. Like, that's my favorite. That's, like, seriously one of my favorite bands, period. Like, so I would pick it. But I think people may be looking more for, like, bands that had the bulk of their career in the 1960s. And so bands like the Rolling Stones would be okay for that because they covered pretty much most of that decade. And the Who sort of, like you said, like, they're kind of, I don't know, a little borderline because they kind of started, like, 1965. When was my generation? Like, 65 exactly or 66? I don't know.
Which one?
When did they do My Generation? When did The Who release My Generation? Like, what year was that?
See, I don't know. I mean, I like them. I mean, I always turn them up when they're on, but I don't know the history of them like I do some other guys.
Yeah, see, that's
the
thing.
I think Monterey, I'll go with my viewing history, and Monterey Pop in 67 in San Francisco was like their huge American breakout. So they were definitely recording songs 65 and 66, I'm sure. But their big American debut was 67, I think, at the Monterey Pop Festival.
You know, it's a complicated question, too, because, like, you'll think of a group like Jefferson Airplane, And they obviously were doing records well into the 70s. However, their greatest work seemed to happen in the late 60s, but that's when they got started too. So it's like, well, you know, they are a 60s band, but it's kind of tough to evaluate. Creedence Clearwater Revival was mostly late 60s. It really was only, their whole career is like 5 years. Did you realize that? It's like only like 5 years, maybe even less. And they released so many albums in that time, like 2 a year. It was pretty crazy. So if that qualified, I might go Creedence because of the precision of their work. Was it the most inspirational? I would say no. But then there's so many others that I can choose. Like, let me think. The Dave Clark Five is good. Herman's Hermits,
stop
I enjoy.
Stop with your Dave Clark Five.
Not a fan?
Enough with the Dave Clark Five.
I would probably, you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with, I didn't actually make the choice. I would go with Led Zeppelin, but I think they're more of a 70s band than a 60s band. To me, the answer is the Beach Boys. And you know how good they were? They were so good that they practically inspired Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Pet Sounds inspired it. So imagine how influential Pet Sounds was in its day. And it was this week, on this week, that they released the album back in 1966. On this week. So it was kind of hit or miss with the critics, but it truly became like one of the greatest works ever in recorded popular music.
That's a terrific answer. You're right. That was a terrific band. That's definitely a 60s band, no question.
They certainly were the sound of a generation of people here in California, if not the rest of the country. I mean, they really were a tremendous listen. And I think they don't get it. Sometimes they don't get enough credit because it sounds like, oh, they sing about cars and go, woo, you know, but they were really good. I mean, it just sounded so simple, but it truly was incredible music.
Yeah, and totally different from what from a lot of what else was going on back then.
Yeah, I agree. It really was very unique. And then it was like duplicated a lot. Like a lot of people imitated him, but when they came out, it was definitely a very, very, very new kind of sound, and a very cool kind of sound too. So, I'm a big fan. I will someday own the album works of the Beach Boys, but they are tough to find on vinyl. I'll probably just seek them out on CD then, so that I can have a record of them some way. We'll see. Okay, next question. That's a great question. John in Georgia, kudos to you. That was really good. See, because the best questions and random questions are the ones that make you think. It makes me think. And so now we have arrived on this topic that I'm generally not trying to touch tonight, but I think we'll touch it here. And the question from Quickies is, how do you feel about Scott Van Pelt and Russillo ripping off random questions? Well,
that's official.
Oh my gosh! Oh, if you only knew. I actually called him out on it today on Twitter, but in a playful sense. I mean, I'm not totally serious about that. I mean, I just being goofy about it. I mean, I didn't really mean that. I mean, the odds of any ESPN radio host actually listening to our podcast is pretty low. I mean, we don't even get that many listeners to start with, so to have them listening to the show would be unrealistic. But it did seem very eerie, right, Junk? Because you brought it up to me first. Like, you mentioned it. Like, you were listening to their show, and you heard them do this segment called What? At the end of their program. And the format was almost exactly like random questions. It's just like, well, that's funny. I mean, how could they do the exact same thing we do? And then and they even said, like, we don't want to ask sports questions, which is what we do. So it's like, well, that's funny. They started this thing like 2 years after we did our thing, and suddenly, that seemed to raise an eyebrow between the two of us, right? So I just thought that was really peculiar. I mean, it was very interesting. And what do I think of it? I think it's remarkable. I think it's tremendous, actually, in a sense, because it, as they say, since imitation is a serious form of flattery, whether they're willing to admit it or not, and they were not willing to admit it, if the Twitter responses were any indication. And they probably didn't, in all actuality. I'm just goofing around here. But it still makes you think. You know, they do something exactly like us. It makes you think. It makes you think, you know, who scooped who? So, Junkie, since you ascertained this in the beginning, what is your thought about the
about me finally going to them directly with the query about whether they borrowed some elements from our show.
Well, I would never say that an ESPN radio host would listening to our podcast and copying, but I wouldn't put it past a producer or a production assistant or someone in the mailroom listening to it and saying, hey, you know, some friend of mine turned me on to this show on Blog Talk Radio, and they had this segment, and me and my friends laughed at it. Maybe you guys should try something like it. I would never say that Scott Van Pelt is listening to our podcast. But I would not put it past, you know, one of the underlings saying, hey, you know, these guys do this. It's pretty funny. Maybe you guys should try something similar.
Ooh, yes. See, you're onto something there. That's a very plausible explanation, you know. There are Brian Monzos all over this country working for many different programs on many networks, and ESPN Radio is no exception. The chance of someone listening to other podcasts and bringing up the idea is very real. I think that could definitely have happened, and whether it happened with our show specifically, well, we don't know. But the chance of that happening in that manner is not completely out of the question. So we had fun with that, and obviously Van Pelt and Rasul did not have fun with that idea of thinking that they were borrowing elements from other shows. Well, I mean, it kind of worked out that way, right? It seems that way, but well, we'll never truly know for sure. And they may have their what. They call it what. We call it random questions, and we're just going to have a good time with it. They got to fit it all in within like 5 minutes. We get a whole hour. So, you know, we just approach it a little differently. It's a fun time, and we enjoy it, and we've been enjoying our spot for like 3 years. It's really been a lot of fun. Many people have said that our show works better than traditional radio because we don't have the restrictions of time or advertisements. I mean, could you imagine, Junkie, if we did plugs for like Subway and Black Angus, you know, during the middle of our show? I mean, could you? I can't even imagine.
That would be
like,
awesome.
Well, you get money for it. That'd be kind of cool. Actually, you know what?
I was going to say, we get a percentage of that.
We would
right?
get money for that. That's actually kind of a nice idea. And I just, you know, I'm just kind of saying that, but I wouldn't have a problem doing ad reads because I enjoy the challenge of, I like being like a voice, I like doing voiceovers too. So if we had ad reads, I would totally have a good time like reading these ads and putting some enthusiasm into them. And some of the products that get brought up are actually things I would enjoy. For example, if you go to like that one website, Personal Creations, they have like chocolate baskets. You can do gift baskets. That's a cool place. Proflowers.com, a timely resource if you want to give something to a loved one. Things like that. It sounds like a good time. So I'm just fooling around. I think ad reads would be kind of interesting. But we don't have that restriction right now, so it's totally a non-profit show as it stands currently. We don't get a lot of listeners, but we get a good steady amount of listeners, and I think that's good enough to keep the show going. So I rather enjoy this, at the moment, independent format.
Absolutely.
Would you do a show for like a mainstream radio station if you were given the opportunity?
Absolutely.
Oh, you do it anyway. Okay. Yeah, I would too. I mean, it's still sports, and if we talked about sports to more listeners, and we would have to have more restrictions, more constraints, more, you know, limits on what we could talk about, and we couldn't use language like we normally do, but it still would be a great opportunity.
But that's not us. Those are some of your other guests. Salty language.
Yeah, you're like Jacob and Captain would have no shot at a radio show.
Jacob and Captain would be banned.
He would be banned
maybe not banned. They wouldn't be banned, but they would be on the 30-second delay.
Oh my gosh, serious delay. It would be like the dump button would have active usage. Yeah, no question about that. That's a bit fun. But that's what I enjoy about the show, though. I like that we can be not uncensored. I think that's really good, and we will take advantage of that when we need to. And it lets our guests be themselves. And so I think that's a lot of fun. Within reason, though. Like if it gets too vitriolic, if it becomes a political soapbox and I end it, like that's usually what I do. Or if somebody tries to be too much of a self-promoter, we've had that before. We usually don't
encourage that. And so we work within limits. That's the key. All right. Well, with all that said, I want to send best wishes to Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Russillo. I do think they do a pretty good job with their show, but it's kind of dull. So I can't say that the personality factor is a huge part of what they do. Like, they kind of need a little more energy into what they say. It's like to have them in the morning, because they filled in for Mike and Mike this morning. To have them in the morning would be like putting you back to sleep, because they have these like nearly, you know, low voices and don't really raise their voices very much, and they talk a little bit like this. So imagine if we did random questions with this kind of voice. Chuck Band, would you imagine
sort
that?
Sort of like this kind of conversation.
Yeah, just kind of like this.
Where we... That would be very not interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure if people would listen to this podcast if we talk like this all the time.
No, this would sort of kill the entire show. This would really sort of put 3 years down the
tube. Yeah, it really does. Like, you know, all the people listening would be tuning out right now if we really committed to this.
Yeah, we would contribute to mass suicide.
And there are enough things doing that right now. That's for sure. So we'll see how that goes. Do you think Steve Ballmer is going to die of natural causes? I mean, he is so crazy. I mean,
is that a random question?
That's my random question. I'm asking that to myself. I have no idea. Oh God, that's a funny thing to think about. Somebody was the aforementioned Rocco, who linked a YouTube to Stephen Ballmer introducing himself at a Microsoft presentation, and he was jumping around and running and going, and he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Get up! Get up!" It's just so funny. I couldn't get over how funny that was. It was just the best. We were in for a treat. We got talk about NBA ownership.
Yeah, this is the guy who's like one greatest achievement in the world was being friends with Bill Gates, right?
Pretty much. I heard the phrase "right place, right time" numerous times with respect to Stephen Ballmer. So we will. Yeah, that's going to be a toughie to really. That's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really evaluate how good he is of an owner or a businessman for that matter. But see, I don't really know that much about business, so I can't. It's hard for me to truly judge. But he doesn't have the greatest reputation with respect to how he handled Microsoft. That's the thing. So anyway, we'll keep following that. Next question. Here we go. Who is Oliver Reinhardt? Do you know?
No, I do not.
Well, Oliver Reinhardt, this is a random question. Oliver Reinhardt is apparently a family friend, maybe. He's a little kid, and he sends texts to Mike Francesa with his fact of the day that he digs up somewhere, maybe his popsicle stick or some peel-off, peel-a-day calendar, something like that. And so Mike had so much enthusiasm reading these in the beginning of this feature. But then about 6 months in, he just kind of goes through the motions with it now. And I think it's time to retire it. But it did have its day in the sun, so that was the thing. So Oliver Reinhardt is a kid who sends little bits of trivia to Mike Francesa on WFAN. That's a good time. Okay, next question. Now, this is a great question from a couple quickies. The last question came from In Blue Heaven. But this question is from quickies. He asks, Dave, if Sterling is mentally incapacitated, then how can we hold his words, meaning the ones he said over that phone call, against him and force the sale? Well, there's two elements in play. The first element is that it was ruled that he was mentally incapacitated this week. When you say the very recently, you're not talking about a month ago or 2 months ago, whenever that conversation took place. Remember, that conversation didn't take place when it was reported. That probably happened weeks. It could have happened months before it went out. So that could have been even a year ago when he was not mentally incapacitated. And even if one could make the argument that he might have been mentally incapacitated even at that time, and let's assume that was like a month ago, and that he's officially mentally incapacitated now, he has a history of being prejudiced and racist and a bad owner that goes back decades. So
he's been a bigot for like 50 years. That's the problem. You're just not going to win that battle. Like, you can say, well, he didn't know what he was talking about in that tape, but he has a history of prejudiced activity and comments that have been made in court that are unfortunately, in his case, going to go against him. So you can say, well, you know, he was out of his mind. Well, he's been out of his mind anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, literally out of his mind. He was out of his mind. But the problem is, you can go back to things that he said and did years ago, way before he was officially incapacitated. So
1982, Dave. It's on record.
1982.
That was the first house. I think that was the first housing discrimination case, was 82.
Wow.
Or good, maybe 87.
Good
know,
research out of the junk, man. This is great. This is a great
tidbit.
I could
tidbit. Be wrong, but it was in the 80s.
Wow, 1982. Where were you? I wasn't born yet. Depends on what month. I was born in May, which is this month. I was born this month,
May 24th.
Wow, one day into my life, I dealt with that jackass. How about that?
Was it May 24th, Dave?
I was born on the 23rd. So if that happened on the
24th.
23rd? Yeah.
23rd, that's my sister's birthday.
Oh, hey, how about that? I share a birthday with the Oatman, I think Drew Carey, and your sister. That's pretty cosmic.
That's pretty cosmic.
Yeah, I like it. All right. So, well, with all that in mind... That would be my argument to get for why you still can hold all of that racial stuff you said against Donald Sterling, because his history precedes him. I mean, it's pretty much gonna not.
In my experience, you don't just wake up a racist.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh, it is so true. It's racism is not. You have to learn it. You really have to learn something like that. I mean. Kids are not naturally racist people. I've seen this in the interactions of really young folk. And it's just a cultural thing that you will accumulate over time. But it's so... You can accumulate it at such an impressionable age that it becomes your mantra. So I've always felt like... if somebody were to make a comment like that, whether in public or private... It's feelings that he's believed for a long time, a long time. If you blurt something like that, it's because you really felt that way for many years. So that's my feeling about it. I mean, you don't have to agree, but that's sort of how I see it. Whew. Man, that was pretty sweet. What did we tackle tonight? We tackled some pretty serious issues, and we covered like bands of the 60s. It's been a fun night on random questions. Perhaps one of the better random questions of the year. What do you think?
I personally enjoy the Scott Van Pelt Brian Russillo impersonation.
Yeah, it was really a stellar effort, wasn't it?
I think you may have to. isolate that clip for the future intro to the show.
That's a great idea.
This is Kevin on the Cape. I'm here with Dave Medina, and this is Random Questions.
Send in your question. Write the word question followed by the question itself, and we'll answer them in order for the first hour.
Don't even think about not writing fucking question in front of the fucking question.
You got to make sure they write that word. You have to write the word question.
Got it. You have to write. We prefer you write question in caps as well, with a semicolon.
Coming up in the top of our next hour, we will have Jared Piscataway. Good guest. What do you think?
And he will say, "Goddamn," 45 times.
Yes. Oh man, we just don't want radio to. We don't want all radio to be that way. I mean, we have problems with radio one way, meaning like the total nut job, the guy that was completely off his rocker, yelling, and you know, really hateful things. You know, guys like Michael Savage, for example. But this is like the other extreme, like NPR extreme, where like guys are just reporting the news. NPR, Morning Edition, you know, stuff like that. You know, this is the news. Anyway, but you know, something in between always winds up being good radio, so that's a good time. All right, Chuck Mann, see if we have any more questions. We do not. All right.
All right, then.
Well, I got it. First of all, mad props to Quickies. I hope I wasn't too... I didn't mean to attack you or anything. I was just answering the question. I hate Donald Sterling so much. I think it's been this way. It's kind of like, you know, people came out of the woodwork with Maya Angelou when she died yesterday. And I've long resented Donald Sterling. But the reason I didn't bring it up on the podcast is because it wasn't applicable. Like, there's nothing... There's no way to tie it in anything. It wouldn't make sense. So... It took a while to actually have a topic that I could actually tie it into. But make no mistake, I've hated that guy for most of my life. So it's been pretty consistent. And if he died tomorrow, I wouldn't even care. And that's kind of mean to say, but yeah, I wouldn't care. So that's where that's where that comes from. Quicks, I love you, man. You are the best. You're so funny. Your questions are truly among the greatest, along with John's and In Blue Heaven. I think you do a great job with these questions. And so I just want to make sure that you didn't seem like I was attacking you or anything. Just sometimes I let the emotions come out when it comes to these kind of things. Hateful people do not sit well with a cow. That's the thing. Okay.
We have no room for hate in America.
No, we've got enough of it as it is. You know, why add, right? Why add? Anyway, that's it. That's our show. Junkie, how is it looking in terms of weather this weekend? Any highlights?
Dude, seriously, it's 48 degrees.
Really?
Ridiculous.
Wow.
Freezing.
Ooh, not good. Not good. Not good. Well, I hope it warms up then. Gosh, it's like June. No. It's 48 degrees in June? Really?
It's 48 degrees.
Wow.
I swear.
No way. Man. I may have to bring a jacket to New York. Are you serious? That's crazy. Will it warm up a lot, you think, in the next 2 weeks?
No. You're looking at 57 tops.
No way. Wow. Wow, okay. All right. Well, we'll have to keep looking in. We'll have to, you know, we'll keep tabs on the whole thing. Junkie, Kevin, it's really been great having you on tonight. I thank you for your patronage. I hope you have a great evening. Let's keep doing what we do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks.
You got it, bud. Enjoy. Best of luck to Max Seafood. And hope you have a great weekend, Junkie.
You got it, man. You too.
All right, man. That's Kevin on the Cape. And that will do it for us tonight. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Thanks to Jeremy in New Jersey for tuning in hour number one. And thanks to everyone who joined us. A couple quickies. In Blue Heaven, John in Georgia, and the rest. I'm Dave Medina. That's it. Have a wonderful weekend. Good luck. Go, Kings. Go. We'll be back on Tuesday next week, we believe. And we'll continue to cover everything in sports. Till then, we'll see you next time.
Ninety seconds.